In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, the hour of our death. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit may be truly wise, that rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Voluntary,
pray for us.
Saint Ignatius,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
All God's angels and saints,
pray for us.
The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You may be children of your heavenly Father, who make his sun rise on the bad and the good. Cause the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? If you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. The Gospel of the Lord. Good evening. The supernatural virtues that we cannot practice without the intervention of God's divine grace. Among these would be the virtue of chastity, also would be the virtue of humility, and the third would be the ability to love our enemies. These are what you might call supernatural virtues. When we say supernatural, means transcends our fallen human nature. We can't do it without God's grace, if you want. You put it in a pithy, short sentence. We can't. We can't live a life of purity. We can't live a life of humility. And we can't love our enemies. Don't kid yourself. But with God's grace, all is possible. So that's an introduction to our topic today. The topic today is, I was meditating upon this morning. It's very, very painful. Very painful in this sense. When we are forgotten, snubbed, or kind of pushed aside by others, it's very painful. You might put up a stoic facade, if you like, but we're all hurt when we're kind of pushed aside. And I think we have sometimes an idealistic illusion to think that in religious life everything is hunky-dory. No, it's kind of a piece of cake. You know, all the nuns are perfect. They probably don't have to go to the bathroom. And you mean, probably have these idealistic illusions that, you know, if you enter the religious life, you're already entering into the threshold of heaven. And it's really not true. Really not true. And St. Faustina we're noticing that she's being moved from one convent to the next. She's in Warsaw, then she's in Vilnius, and then she's in other places. Now you're going to be noticing, if you're observant, that you know some of the nuns really, they seem to be saints. But some of them seem to be everything except saintliness, no? So we think, okay, these nuns, they're contemplative nuns, they've made perpetual vows, they've gone through the documents in religious life, you know, up until the 19th century. They make their holy hour, they go to daily mass. You'd think that they'd be pretty darn holy, no? But you know, sometimes it's not the case. And in becoming more and more aware of this concept that can be applied to religious life, family life, our personal life, is that I think we all have blind spots. We all have blind spots. And one of the blessings of spiritual director that I, you know, pray for me this Monday, I'll see my spiritual director this Monday, no? Is I notice as I talk out my own spiritual life with my director, I mean, how blind I can be at times. Kind of painful to say that, no? You think that a religious for many years, heading toward his mid-60s, wouldn't have to say that, but I humbly have to admit that we all have blind spots. No? And I think that if we can admit that, we're on the right path. But if we don't admit that we have blind spots, we're never going to be healed. One of my favorite Mexican proverbs is, no en peor ciego, yo aquel que no quiere ver, no en peor sordo, yo aquel que no quiere oír. Right, Raquel? Ever hear that one? It's a good one. There's no worse blind person, a blind person that doesn't want to see. No worse deaf person than the person that doesn't want to hear. Do you hear me?
Yes.
I thought you were going to say what? So we all have blind spots, and we all have maybe deaf moments too. So let's read through this one number. Somewhat long. I'd like to get through this one number today. And allow this number to speak to our hearts. So last week we finished 148. I'm not wrong in my mathematics. Next is number 149, I think, right? Is that true?
Yeah.
All have a copy?
Yes.
So just a context, okay. St. Faustina, you're going to see in this diary, she's in and out of sicknesses. And we find her in this number, she's actually in the infirmary. Okay. You know, it's consoling to me as well as to the church as a whole. And it says, you're being sick is not an impediment for you going in holiness. Okay? Your being sick is not an impediment for you going in holiness. Some of you have heard of holy indifference, right? Not to prefer a long life to a short life, health to sickness, poverty to riches, honors to humiliations. You're going to see those aspects of holy indifference played out in this number. This is the number, probably one of the best numbers of holy indifference. So she's in the infirmary. Okay, when you're sick in your room or you're in the hospital, I think all of us like someone to visit us, right? Right?
Yes.
I think it's normal. I mean, if we're sick, it's tough to be sick. Having someone visit us and smile at us and talk to us and pray with us and maybe tell a joke, that can really pick the person up. It's an act of charity. It's one of the corporal works of mercy, right? I was sick and in prison and came to visit me. One of the corporal works of mercy. Last thing you do if you visit someone in the hospital, you look at the person, boy, you really look bad. I heard you're sick. You're sicker than I thought you were going to be. Remember once hearing Fulton Sheen talk about that, and he says the last thing you want to talk to a sick person about is about his sickness, no? Fulton Sheen, you tell him a story and that distracts him from his sickness, and then he suffers much less, maybe for another day, because you're distracting his mind from concentrating so much on the sickness that he's undergoing. Learn how to tell a joke. Humorous story. Okay, 149. When the Lord Himself wants to be close to a soul and to lead it, He will remove everything that is external. Very interesting. You're close to God, and God can move external obstacles as quickly and easily as He wants. Now, every one of us can apply that in a different way. But you can have a huge obstacle, and God can remove it just like this. 1 second. She said, when I fell ill, was taken to the infirmary, I've suffered much unpleasantness because of this. There were two of us sick in the infirmary. Sisters would come to see sister whoever, but no one came to visit me. It is true that there was only one infirmary, but each one had her own cell in the infirmary, a little room. The winter nights were long, but Sister Anne had the light and the radio headphones. Well, I could not even prepare my meditation for lack of light. Okay, don't forget, St. Faustina is living in a more primitive country than the United States. She's living from 1905 to 1938. Got that? So she's living about 100 years ago. Some of you are thinking, who cares about a light and headphones? I've got my iPad, huh? So what does that mean? She spent the whole time there in the darkness. Okay. I'm looking at a family here. Okay, you got three sisters here. What would happen if Mama Rebecca had two of the daughters sick for, let's say, 48 hours? You only visited one of them. That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? I think the one you didn't visit probably wouldn't forgive you for half a year. Maybe not. Maybe you got a couple of saints here, no? But I think that the daughter that you did not visit would really feel slighted. Really angry, no? And I think all of us would, face it. What I really admire about Faustine is you see how she takes this. This is the third degree of humility. It really is. It's way up here. How would you feel? Mom, come on over here. Come on over here. Talk to me. You've already talked to Rachel. Come on. Come on. Leave her. She's got her iPad and her headphone on. Come on. She's got her teddy bear. Come on. That's what we do on a natural plane. Not Faustina, though. This holiness is way up here. And I think one of the clearest signs of holiness is suffering in silence without complaining. Okay, doctor? I mean, easier said than done. Suffering in silence without complaining. Right, Elvira? Yeah. It's hard, isn't it? For all of us, it's hard. We want some commiseration, we want compassion, we want people to take us into account, we want someone to give us a pat on the back, we want someone to say a kind word, to smile at us. Look at Jesus on the cross, right? How much he suffered. Okay, now, she wasn't there one day. How long was she there? Well, nearly 2 weeks. Not 48 hours, 2 weeks. Whew. It's a long time, isn't it? 2 weeks had passed in this way. So there she is in darkness most of the day, without anyone visiting her. Who knows, maybe they didn't even bring her to eat. Probably, they probably gave her maybe a couple of pieces of toast, huh? I complained to the Lord. That's what I like. She didn't complain to the other people. She complained to the Lord. You know, it's not a sin to complain to the Lord. Did you know that? You can. And complain to the Lord. Add that to your prayer repertoire, okay? Your complaints. Complain to the Lord one evening that I was suffering so much that I could not even prepare my meditation because there was no light. I think that's a justifiable complaint, wouldn't you think? I suggest that you do that for your meditations. Last thing you do at night? But Ignatius suggests, last thing you do at night, you should read your meditation material, what you're going to meditate upon in the morning. That's very Ignatian. Why? Because the last thing you're thinking about before you go to bed, you're thinking about the Word of God. And then, when you're dozing off, what are your last thoughts before you doze off? You're thinking about the Word of God. You're kind of mulling over that in your mind. I mean, that's the ideal Ignatian principle. You're going through that in your mind. And what's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning? Hello? What you're reading and meditating upon before you went to bed, you wake up and those are the ideas fresh in your mind. So there you have, you're setting the stage for your holy hour. She couldn't do that because there's no light. So I think that's a pretty good complaint. What do you think? Justifiable? See what God's going to do then. So there's no light and she couldn't prepare her meditation. And the Lord said that he would come every evening and give me the points for the next day's meditation. Not bad, huh? Pretty good teacher? Good master? Pretty good intervention? See how good God is, okay? Something was taken away, but something much greater was given to her. The Lord himself was going to be her Ignatian director. Better than Ignatius. These points always concerned his sorrowful passion. Do you like to meditate upon the passion? Well, I really admire you people, I do. I really admire you, probably. I got to pray for my conversion. I find it difficult to meditate upon the passion. I kind of recoil a little bit. Often during the day, I'll pray. Often four rosaries, three to four rosaries. But if I don't pray a rosary, it's usually the sorrowful mysteries. I find it difficult. That's why I admire your holiness. Pray for me. He would say, consider my sufferings before Pilate. It's interesting. How many words those were? Those were five words. Five words. Enough for a long meditation. And as you grow in your spiritual life, you're going to see that you can do a meditation. You don't have to have so much material. Now the people that enter into the exercises, I bombard them. I just finished writing out a meditation this morning. I think about 2,000 words, no? Four pages. No? For you, for a beginner, beginners rather, it's good to give a lot of material. But if you're advancing your spiritual life, you don't always have to have so much material. So he said, consider my sufferings before Pilate. So Faustina, knowing the passion of Christ, just those five words was enough to trigger a contemplative image. And she was obviously be able to move into that contemplative image and be with Christ. And to console Christ, talk to him, ask him questions, be present to him. For that reason, Ignatius says it's not in knowing much, but savoring the truth is the essence of prayer. Spanish, no listen, saber mucho, sino saborear la verdad. Saborear, beautiful word in Spanish, huh? Saborear, you know what that means, Eric? Savoring, savoring. Savoring, like a good meal. Saboreando. Like that word, saboreando. And this, point by point, I meditated upon his sorrowful passion for 1 week. And that's what we do in our exercise program, right? Maybe if Faustina got that from me. Huh? I wasn't born yet. I'm sorry about that. For 1 week, from that moment, a great joy entered my soul. So that's an interesting point. Irrespective of where we are geographically, irrespective of how we are physically, respectful of where we are emotionally, God can intervene and he can give us joy irrespective of where we are geographically, physically, emotionally. The only thing that would impede that would be morally if we're living in sin, obviously we're not going to be experiencing true joy. You remember that passage where St. Paul is thrown in prison and he's whipped? He's there with Silas and they're singing joyful hymns at night. I mean, he's beaten, almost to a pulp. There he is, singing psalms and singing joyful songs. So even in the midst of suffering, you can experience joy. Joy of knowing that God is within. God is with us, who can be against us? Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I shall want. The Lord is my rock and my security. Amen? Amen. Now listen to this. A great joy entered my soul and I no longer wanted either the visitors or the light. Wow. How good God is, huh? Did you hear that? See, what she's saying is that not to rely upon human structures, but to rely totally on God. That's the essence of holy indifference. So it seemed as if God took everything away. He took everything away to give her something much more, which was God himself. There, the other nun was there with the light, and with her headphones on, listening to the radio and the music. Faustine that was there without any of those, so to speak, luxuries back 100 years ago. But she had the greatest luxury, that was Christ, the love of her heart. I think you people are going to arrive at that one day. Where it seems as if God has taken everything away. He's asking you to walk on the water. Water can be pretty cold at night. And to walk on the water without even being able to see Christ, but you can maybe hear his voice, and that's enough. Maybe you can't see him. You can hear his voice. Hear his voice, that should be enough. What a great passage for holy indifference, huh? She got sickness there. I mean, she's going to die when she's only 33. You're not going to be living much longer. Certainly doesn't have a lot of money, does she? Poverty, there you have it almost to the max. No? How about humiliations? She's humiliated because everyone is just forgetting her. This is a great passage for holy indifference. Every nation, huh? See how easily we can cling to things and be attached to certain things, and that impedes us from really flying high in the spiritual life. How easy to be attached. Persons, places, things, events, ideas, philosophies. Attached to a little thing, but that attachment really prevents us from being truly free. Freedom of the sons and daughters of God. And I no longer wanted either the visitors or the light, semicolon, Jesus sufficed me for everything. If you have Jesus, you have everything. You do. Remember, if you have Jesus, you have everything. That's why that beautiful verse, Psalm 23, verse 1, I think it says it all. One of my favorite biblical passages, Psalm 23, verse 1. What is that? The Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I shall want. The Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I shall want. Lord is my light, my salvation, whom shall I fear? Though I walk through dark valleys, I have no fear because you're with me by my side. Your rod and your staff sustain me. The enemies look upon me. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. I believe I will walk with the Lord for years to come. Psalm 23. The superiors were indeed very solicitous for the sick. It's usually true. In religious community, you got a sick nun. Usually the sisters are solicitous for that. I'm sure you have the up in Duarte there when you have the older nuns. The nuns are probably A+ to the older ones. Right, Mary? Yeah. But God is allowing this to happen to St. Faustina for us right now, years later. The Lord ordained that I should feel forsaken. What is the grace we beg for in our ninth week? We beg for the grace to be able to enter into the passion of Christ, to suffer with Christ. You ever hear those words, Eloi, Eloi lama sabachthani? How's your Aramaic? Like today, Ephata, right? Be open. Eloi, Eloi lama sabachthani. What does that mean, Alma, you know? How's your Hebrew? What? My God, why have you forsaken me? That's the word in the diary, right? It's a tough verse. Of all the seven words of Christ on the cross, that's the one I battle most with. The others I understand pretty well. I've been preaching on them for many years, following in the shadow of Fulton Sheen, no? Eloi, Eloi lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? How could that happen? Well, in his divine nature, that couldn't happen. Jesus is always contemplating the face of God the Father. But in his human nature, there was an eclipse. An eclipse, when you look at the sun, we got these eclipses that come now and then. He was not able to contemplate God the Father in his humanity. You ever felt abandoned, forsaken, forgotten? I think we all have to a limited degree. I think one of the keys when we're going through that, I've said that in our Marian consecration class, is not to be afraid to go in front of the Blessed Mother and offer Mary your own tears. Give Mary your broken heart. Your abandoned heart. She'll console you. The best of masters, who's that? Best of masters withdraws every created thing in order that he himself might act. Oh, talk about holy indifference, huh? Wow. So now this is going to be for your encouragement. I think you're going to like what I'm going to say now, even though it's somewhat painful. Look at your life before you did the exercises. Look at your life now. Are you the same person?
No.
Hello?
No.
Okay, look at your life before the exercises. Did you have attachments?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, maybe now you still do have some attachment, but a lot of those things that you're attached to 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago, you have no desire whatsoever to have them, right? Interesting, right? How God has been working in all of you. Even the teenagers, no? You're attached to something that you almost couldn't live without. Now you see, how could I possibly have been attached to that thing, that person, that thing, that event? It almost seems ridiculous that you had that attachment, right? Almost silly, almost nonsense. Now God has been working at you, working with you, purifying you, detaching you from something that was, so to speak, kind of clogging your heart, suffocating you, preventing you from giving yourself totally to God. Any of you ever we, the life of St. Francis, and then the, probably aside from the life of St. Francis, the most famous work ever written would be The Little Flowers of St. Francis. Have you read those? It's really, you maybe try to maybe look into it. What are The Little Flowers of St. Francis? It's a book of about 40 different chapters. And each chapter is just 2.5 pages, probably only about 100 pages altogether. And they're little chapters illustrating the great holiness of St. Francis. And one of my favorite chapters, I probably read this 40 years ago, and I probably have to go back and read it again, is Franciscans that were already founded, they're spreading all throughout Italy, even outside of Italy. Francis is going to die when he's about 46. He's relatively young. And he's walking with one of his brothers. And he asked one of his brothers, what is true happiness? And they're heading toward one of their houses. They have a long walk. And their brother says, well, it's probably being able to work miracles. Yeah. Francis says, No, not at all. So they're walking, and as they're walking, it's starting to get cold because the sun is going down. Francis says, well, what is true happiness? Wherein can you find true happiness? The brother says, well, I know. Prophecy. Be able to preach, prophesy the future. That's pretty darn good. Francis says, uh-uh. So they're walking, and they're getting cold, and it's starting to rain now. And Francis says, well, brother, tell me, where can we find true happiness? And he says, I know. Being able to raise the dead. Ah, oh, yeah. Raising the dead. Oh, wow. Imagine that. And right now it's starting to sleet. It's kind of a mixture of snow and rain. Really getting cold. And they're getting drenched. Francis says, uh-uh. So it's getting colder and colder, and they're starting to shiver. Francis says to the brother, tell me, where can we find true happiness? And the brother says, I don't know, Father Francis, please tell me. He says, well, if we arrive at our community, and they don't recognize us because already icicles are falling from our ears. We're drenched, unrecognizable. If we knock at the door, they open up the door, they look at us, they call us ruffians, they spit at us, they punch us, they smack us, and they kick us into the street. If we can rejoice in that, that's true happiness. You're going to find that in The Little Flowers of St. Francis, huh? There you got an excellent chapter on holy indifference. Holy indifference. Even the willingness to be rejected for Christ, as Faustina is in this chapter, right? By being forgotten, she's being rejected, right? Hello? If someone forgets you, they're basically rejecting you by their silence, by being forsaken. Easier said than done, huh? But half of the battle of holy indifference, my friends, is understanding it. Once you understand it intellectually, then once you're visited by these opportunities, God has given me the opportunity to live holy indifference. This is the third degree of humility. Oh, Lord, I'm not ready yet. All right? Sometimes we're not ready yet. Now, there are days where we're kind of like a ripe pear ready to be picked from the orchard. And we say yes to it, and then like Faustina, experience this celestial peace and joy that we know come from the Holy Spirit. But these, we're talking about a supernatural reality. This is not natural, this is supernatural, transcending nature. Both St. Francis and St. Louis de Montfort, they had a lot of friends. They would say, especially St. Louis de Montfort, may God bless you. May God bless you and give you many little crosses. Amen or oh me. That's an oh me, huh? And both of them on one occasion, they went through a day without a cross. You know what they would say? What a cross it is not to have a cross. St. Francis, St. Louis de Montfort. No? And you see how noble, how sublime the saints are? And really how far we are from them, right? Say yes, Father. Well, we at least admit it, right? Okay. I kind of elicited you to say yes, Father, but we see how far we are from the saints, but at least we're on the way, right? We're taking some small steps in the right direction. I cannot recommend enough to really get to know the saints better. They're our models, right? We want to pattern our lives upon the lives of these great heroes of God. Okay, every created thing in order that he himself might act. The mystics like Catherine of Siena, St. Margaret Mary Ella Cook, St. Faustina, they have what is called a mystical marriage with Christ. You girls know that St. Catherine of Siena had a vision of Jesus, and Jesus came and said, come, you're my spouse. And he said, extend your finger. So she actually extended her finger. And Jesus put a ring on the finger of Catherine of Siena. Did you know that? Yeah. It's called the mystical marriage. A beautiful ring. But guess what? She was the only one that could see it. She could see it. It was glimmering and shining, no? Others couldn't see it, no? And what we have here is the most poetic, mystical love song you have in the Bible is a book called The Song of Songs. Okay? Song of Songs in the Old Testament. And basically God is saying this, our God is a jealous lover. Our God is a jealous lover. He doesn't want 50% of you or 75% of you or 80% of you. He wants 150% of you. He wants all of you. Whatever is not totally given to Christ, he's like Francis Thompson, he's the hound of heaven going after you, pursuing you through the thickets and the fields and the marshes and the lakes, above the hills, below the hills. He's going after us until we give ourselves totally to him. And interesting, St. John the Cross says this, once we have given ourselves totally to God, then we end up by seeking out God, seeking his face. It's almost as if it's the other way around. Once we've given ourselves totally to God, he seeks for us. Once he's taken possession of us, then we seek his face. And sometimes he hides his face so that we seek him all the more. I remember hearing a Carmelite priest give a homily on that, and I said, wow, this guy, this karmapa, he's hitting the nail on the head. That's the way God works. He pursues us. Then once he's possessed us, then we pursue his face. And the more that we long for him, the more we grow to love him. As the psalmist says, as the deer yearns for the running stream, so I yearn for you, O Lord my God. Remember that psalm? As the deer yearns for the running streams, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord my God. Good stuff, huh? Many times I've experienced such sufferings and persecutions. Sufferings and persecutions. Father John Lyons, remember him? Remember he once gave a homily on the Beatitudes. Now, how many Beatitudes there are? 8 Beatitudes. And he said this: if you live out the first 7 of the Beatitudes, the recompense is the 8th. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Never forget that homily. No? If you're really living out those Beatitudes, the recompense, the prize is that you're going to be persecuted. The way they say, rejoice and be glad, because yours is the kingdom of heaven. Beautiful, huh? Rejoice and be glad, because yours is the kingdom of heaven. So if you're really living out the gospel, sooner or later, you're going to experience some type of persecution. Sometimes it starts in your own home or in your own family members. You know, you end up by doing the exercises. You do the exercises. There's the saint. There she is. Look at her halo. Look at those fluttering white wings. And they're waiting for you, watching you every step along the way, so that the first false step you make, aha! There's that girl that did the spiritual exercises, and there she is. Now we see it in her true colors, huh? Persecution, huh? Gonna come. I've experienced such sufferings and persecutions that Mother M, who's Mother M? Mother Margaret. Mexicans like it, una margarita. Mother Margaret herself said to me, Sister, along your path, sufferings just spring up out of the ground. Wow. Let's be honest. Since you've done the exercise, that's probably happened to a lot of us, right? So the suffering seem to come right, left, north, south, east, and west. They come not in the way you really expected. They seem almost to just pop out of nowhere. I'll give you an example. No, I won't tell you this one, no. Okay, I'll tell you. Probably over the past couple of years, my mother wants me to go to Florida to give a popular mission there. Okay? She lives in Vero Beach, where the Dodgers used to have their spring training. I gave a mission there about 7 years ago. They've actually done the spiritual exercises there using my program. So there's a community there. The name of the church is St. John of the Cross in Vero Beach. There's about three parishes in Vero Beach. So somewhat reluctantly, I said, okay, I'll go. Because I'm going to be going in the beginning of Lent for the around the time of the Feast of St. Joseph. So thanks to the work of Mary and Elvira, we got the flyers out, and so it's pretty well organized. Guess what happened this morning when I was leaving my room to do my holy hour? I think it was Father Craig or someone left right at the edge of my door a little note. So that's kind of nice. Maybe it'll be the donation I can give to Father Larry. Put a smile on his face. No, but there was a summons for jury duty. Ah, no. So I said to myself, hey, I'm not going to read that before my holy hour, no. If I read that before my holy hour is going to be a holy hour of profound desolation. No offense to the lawyers here. I don't like jury duty. Maybe you do. But during the whole holy hour, I was trying to meditate upon this and talk to Mary and Jesus. The whole background was jury duty, jury duty, jury duty, jury duty. You know, and you know, it could be, you know, from now all the way until next year, right? So open up a letter, Mary and Elvira. Guess what it is. March 17, 18, 19. Exactly when I'm going on this mission. I've been preparing for 6 months, no? So thanks be to God, I'm gonna postpone it. But I knew as soon as I saw that, that's going to be right in the middle of this popular mission. I've been trying to organize for 6 months, no? See how you want to follow the Lord, all these obstacles crop up right and left, no? And I knew it was going to be that date, no? So don't be afraid, or don't be dismayed, or don't be discouraged when you start to follow the Lord, all these persecutions, these troubles, these crosses, these contradictions, that's part of following Christ. And sometimes I think it's a good idea to kind of cultivate a good sense of humor. And I say, Lord, I knew you were going to do this. Thank you, Lord. We'll get out of it one way or another, no? And that's what we have here. Sufferings just spring up out of the ground. I look upon you. This is Mother Superior saying, I look upon your sister as one crucified. Do any of you know in a Carmelite convent, I don't know whether this is a Divine Mercy, a Carmelite convent, contemplative, is when the new sister enters into her cell. You know what they see on the ground, on the wall? It's a cross. But without the corpus, why? Why? Because they're supposed to be nailed to that cross by the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. Those are the three nails that nail us to the cross. But you know, it's really not an alienation. Really, it's freedom. You live out those vows, it's really the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. So, sister, as one crucified, but I can see that Jesus has a hand in this, be faithful to the Lord. And that's the last message for us. In the midst of your trials, tribulations, struggles, be faithful to the Lord. Mother Teresa says, we're not called to be successful, we're called to be faithful. So probably tomorrow morning, you're going to get a letter in the mail, and you're probably going to have jury duty, no? Maybe not. But let's pray that we'll be faithful. Faithful to the Lord and to His Mother until the very end. Amen. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. St. Ignatius, pray for us. We'd like to ask for your prayers, because starting tomorrow, we enter into our 10-week period of the spiritual exercises. Pray, because tomorrow we've got our first session with Father Craig and Eric, and we have our Sunday session, and then we have our Tuesday session in Spanish, and we have another Wednesday session at 7 o'clock, and we've got a Thursday session in the morning, but also we have a Thursday session in Jorba Linda, the Church of St. Martin of Tours, Porres rather, no? So we've never had so many sessions in the history of this of the exercises, no? We've got six different sessions. So ask your prayers that the people would come and they persevere. Could you? Yes. I really appreciate that. So God bless you. Have a great night. What?
I'm afraid to go to the